Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today, what I do want to talk about is getting closer to Jesus. You know, we're all on this journey of life. You know, we're born at different times. All of us have experienced different things. But ultimately, we're hoping to have the same destination. And in all of us being in different places, I guess what I want to encourage everyone today is that wherever you are, move closer to Jesus. Wherever you are, anything that is hindering you from being closer, work on it, get it out of the way. We're in a time, I think, where it's very important for wherever we are in our own personal journeys to move closer to Jesus, whatever that is. And that because we all are on, I could say we've all started in different places, that could mean something different for all of us. What does it mean for each of us individually to move closer? What is that next step that I have to take in order to move closer to Jesus? And, you know, I would encourage everyone to seek the Lord's will for what is that next step. Is it something in my life that I'm doing that's distracting me or keeping me, or attitudes in my heart, sin, obedience, whatever it is that you need to do to take that next step, to just simply move closer to Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. Like I said, when we all have the same ideal destination that we're hoping to get to. And so with that, I think I'm going to maybe piggyback a little bit off of the verse that was chosen for the scripture there in Ecclesiastes a little bit. And when it talks about that whole duty of man is to love God and to keep his commandments. And I guess I'm going to approach it, though, from the perspective, you know, we're saying about moving closer to Jesus, but also what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to believe on Jesus? You know, different people can have different ideas of what that is. And it's interesting, or even believing in God. Some people believe that what that means is to believe that Jesus existed. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus exists. You know, I believe God exists. But when the Bible talks about what does it mean to believe in Jesus, is that what it means? Because Jesus was telling that to people he was standing in front of, that they needed to believe on him. Well, obviously they knew he existed because he's talking to them. So believing that Jesus exists isn't what it means to believe in Jesus. And from what I've gathered from my time in this book, if I was to kind of sum it up, I don't want to say it's conclusive, but what I've seen, what it means to believe in Jesus or believe on Jesus, kind of, I categorize it in three different ways. The one that I think is most obvious that people, if you want to say in Christianity or religious circles, will agree on is you have to believe what Jesus did, which is the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection. They'll say you have to believe that in order to be saved. And we see that that is definitely something that you must believe, that Jesus was crucified for our sin. You know, we all have sinned and fallen short, and we all deserve the death penalty and separation from God. Our sins do that. Our sins separate us from God. And the good news of the gospel is that God, in his love and his mercy, as it says, sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But again, that takes us right back to, well, then what does it mean to believe on Jesus? and that is one thing, is that we must believe what he has done, that he was crucified and died to pay the price, to pay that debt that we all owe. He was buried, and then he was raised again, as they say, for our justification. The fact that Jesus rose again shows us that the debt was paid, that the death that we deserve, he took it and he made it out the other side. which is what we're all hoping to do too, is that, you know, depending on the Lord's will, if our time here ends and we do pass, that we also have hope in that resurrection, the same resurrection that Jesus, and we want to participate in his resurrection unto life. So that, I will say, that's one thing, believing what Jesus did. Some people say, well, that's all you have to believe. If you just believe that Jesus paid for your sins, then you're saved. Yeah. Jesus also says that, I'd say the second thing is you must believe who Jesus is. Jesus said, I believe it's in John chapter 10. He said, lest you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So you have to believe who Jesus is as well. And that's also the question that Jesus posed to Peter and his apostles. He said, who do you say that I am? You know, and they said, well, some people say you're this, some people say that. He said, no, well, who do you say that I am? You must believe who Jesus said he is. And it's also similar. We see that with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, where after hearing the gospel preached by Philip through the book of Isaiah, the question that the eunuch asked was, well, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Like, what's stopping me? And he said, here's water. What doth hinder me? This is a little different. I'm usually reading this. And I guess I'm just, so you have to extend some grace to me if I don't quote the psalm, the scriptures exactly. But hopefully you understand the heart. And we all know these scriptures. We all know these scriptures. But in that, after the eunuch heard the gospel, and in there must have been something about baptism, because when they came to water, he said, well, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, thou mayest. And then the profession that he said was that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then it said they both went down in the water and he baptized them. That's giving a general summary. We could go to this and read it. So that's the second thing. The first being, like I said, we must believe what Jesus did, the death, burial, and resurrection. Secondly, we must believe who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, as he said. The third thing, which takes us to what we have there in Ecclesiastes and the one that really hangs people up, is that you must believe what Jesus said in order to be saved. Or how could you say that you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe the words that he said and the things that he taught? You wouldn't think. So that's kind of what I think I want to look at a little bit today, is that aspect of believing in Jesus and believing the things that Jesus said. And I think that we will go ahead and start in Matthew. And we're going to go to chapter 7. And so in Matthew chapter 7, we know this is at the end of what they call the Sermon on the Mount, and we have the beginning of it right over there on the wall, where he started in chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He continued on, I see the one there that's been on my heart a little bit. The past couple of days is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's true. That's true. And I would encourage everyone to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And there's so much righteousness in this book. It's amazing. But he began the Sermon on the Mount there in chapter 5. And when we get to chapter 7, he's coming to the conclusion. And I'm going to start in verse 21. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus speaking says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we see Jesus giving the, he's telling what's going to happen. He's saying, this is what's going to, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. But as he says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And then if we continue on, though, in verse 24, therefore, he says, therefore, since I just said that, therefore this. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So there we see it. Tying back to what we read in Ecclesiastes, the whole duty of man. Jesus says here, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built upon his which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I'll just finish the chapter. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so we see that Jesus emphasizes the importance of what he said, and not even just believing what he says, but he says, hear, those who hear and do will be likened to a wise man who built his house. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And as I said, in Ecclesiastes as well, you see that the whole duty of man, serve God, keep his commandments. And we can go to several different places that talk about like the commandments of God. It says they are not grievous. And what I've noticed sometimes people will do is they try to still flip this back into, well, all I have to do is believe. And the way they'll do that is when it says that everyone who doeth the will of my Father in heaven, they go to, I believe it's in John, I believe. Well, they'll say that the will of God is for the ones who believe on him to be saved. And then they'll say, well, actually, it's the work of God. But if we want to find out what the will of God is for us, it tells us clearly. If we turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to start at the beginning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is Paul writing to the church there. And he's going to give us some, I guess you would say some instruction, but we'll read it through. Starting at verse 1. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So he's just kind of reminding them, like, you guys have already received from us how you ought to walk. How, like Jesus said, hear my words and do them. How you ought to walk in order to please God. Verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So there it is again. He's talking about the commandments. We know what commandment is. Commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. So here we go. So we just said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter, but he that does the will of God. In verse 3 here, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And if we were to dig in that Greek there, that it's really talking about holiness there. Sanctification, being set apart, and set apart unto God, away from the things of the world. That ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It's talking about possessing our vessels. It's talking about these bodies that we're in, that we should know how to possess them in sanctification, which is holiness, and in honor, in a way that's pleasing to God. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And there it is right there. We see it throughout the scriptures in several places. It says, be ye holy, because God says, I am holy, be ye therefore holy as God is. Or to put simply, we know God is holy. Well, if we are to be his children, shouldn't we be like him? It seems pretty simple to be holy. And so here we see that God has called us not unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And this echoes something that we see also in Hebrews. I believe it is in chapter 7. I thought it was 7:14. Let's see here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And again, when we're talking about what Jesus said, he that hears the sayings of mine and doeth them. And what is that? You know, we saw the will of God there, that God has called us unto holiness. And in Hebrews chapter 12, and this is right after that whole chapter on faith in chapter 11, Hebrews 12, verse 14, we hear this instruction. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I think that's pretty
plain.
Pretty plain that holiness is important. And when we really think about it, we know that the church is the bride of Christ. You know, those who want to be joined to Christ are his bride. And if you think about what kind of a bride do you think Jesus wants? You know, you want one that is faithful. And when I say faithful, I don't mean full of faith as in believing. You know, you want your wife to be faithful to you. Do you know what I mean? That's fidelity, which would be doing the things that please the husband, being faithful. And that's the church that he is coming for. That's the bride, one that is faithful. And like you said, holy, I think somewhere it says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And he has called us unto holiness. And so I think I'm going to go one more place, digging in a little bit again about just what is it that Jesus has said. And obviously this is through the apostles here. Because we know that the church continued not only in the words of Jesus, but also in the apostles' doctrine, which they got from Jesus. So we can trust what the apostles said as well as the doctrine of Jesus. And we're going to go one last place here. We'll go to John chapter 12. And, one last place and then we'll end. In John chapter 12. And this takes us back to, we could read this whole chapter here, but I'm going to kind of go towards the end. This takes us back again. Yes, John chapter 12. And we're going to pick up in verse 42. And so this is going to once again take us back to what does it mean to believe in Jesus? He's going to show us even a little bit more here. So John chapter 12, verse 42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers I'm sorry. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's, I think that's something that we all have to be mindful of. You know, I told the story of my friend who was trying to get closer to Jesus, but other things, and I want to say other people that he loved were able to delay it. They weren't able to stop it, but they were able to delay it. And we can't be worried about what people are going to think more than what God wants from us and what he thinks. Verse 43 again, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receive not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There again, we can see that importance of if you believe on Jesus, what that means, part of that is you have to believe what Jesus said. He said, otherwise, the words that he did say that you didn't believe, those are the words that are going to judge you. That was verse 48. Verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So there we can see, as much as we put eternity and being in heaven on believing in what Jesus did, believing the gospel, we can read where we can see that that is a requirement for being saved. Also, believing in who Jesus is a requirement for being saved. But here, as Jesus is talking about the commandment that he was given to say to the people, he says, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. If we do the things that God would have us to do, we're told plainly what the result is eternal life with him. And we will be like him, holy, if we do what he says. I guess to close it out, when we're talking about believing what Jesus said, we'll go to one of the last things that Jesus is recorded saying in the book of Mark. And this is after Jesus had gone to the cross and suffered and died and was risen. And in Mark chapter 16, after talking to his apostles there, as he was talking to them, we're going to go ahead and start in verse 14. It says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, in order to believe in Jesus, and we're talking about believing his words, the question comes, do you believe this? He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do we believe that? That's one of those things that's necessary to believe that Jesus said in order to consider yourself as believing in Jesus. And it's very simple there. And so taking it back to where I started, for some of us, being baptized according to scripture might be the next step in moving closer to him. For some of us, like I said, it may be following Jesus in other ways in our lives, by the things that he taught, the things that we need to do to be closer to him. But this here, this is one of those, I would almost say the first step in actually coming to him in the way that he prescribed, is by believing in him, believing the gospel that he told them to preach, and to be baptized, as we see the exampled of those who did it later on. We see the examples of those who did just this throughout the book of Acts. And so with that, I just want to encourage every one of us that wherever we are in our walk, in this life walk, to make effort to move closer to Jesus, whatever that may be. Have your mind just doing whatever you can to get closer and closer to him. And once you take that next step and you say, okay, I did it, there's always blessings that come with simply doing things his way. I'll say it that way. Doing things his way, there's blessings that come. So whatever your spiritual need might be, you can feel free to make it known, and we'll do whatever we can to help you to do exactly that, to get closer to Jesus in whatever way that might be. We can go ahead and sing the song of invitation. Okay.